Hey, do you guys know that the God who created the universe wants to talk with you? And not just once, but every day. Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick Warren continues his life-changing series called Hearing the Voice of God, where he reveals how you can tune into God's voice, build on a real friendship with Him, and discover His direction for your life loud and clear. All right, now here's Rick with part two of a message called Recognizing God's Voice.
Number five, it says, if I get an idea from God, an impression from God, it's full of mercy. What does that mean? It means if I get an idea from God, it's going to make me more forgiving of you. It's going to make me more gracious to you. I'm thinking, man, I've been forgiven. I better forgive everybody else. God has been gracious to me. I better be gracious to everybody else. I say, you know, God has cut me an awful lot of slack. I better cut my wife an awful lot of slack and my kids an awful lot of slack. Why? Because God has been gracious to me. True wisdom, wisdom that comes from God, not human wisdom, not demonic wisdom, but God's wisdom is full of mercy. You know, some people, this is the dead giveaway that they haven't heard from God. They think they have, but they haven't because their attitude proves it. When you find people who think they've heard from God and then they're judgmental and they're critical of everybody else and they're harsh and they're accusatory and they're always judging other people and other churches and other leaders and things like that, you know they have not heard from God. Now, it just seems that all those people have congregated on the internet. And they have these things called blogs. Let me tell you something. It takes no intelligence to criticize. A fool, an idiot can criticize. Anybody, a baby can learn to criticize. You could teach a monkey how to criticize. But it takes maturity and wisdom to find the beauty in every person. It's very easy to look at something and go, she's this, she's this, she's this, she's this, he's that, he's that, he's that, he's that. And you look at all the surface issues and you can instantly think of five things you don't like about them. It takes no brains at all to do that. What takes intelligence, what takes wisdom, what takes maturity is to find the good, the beautiful in every person and in every situation. That takes maturity. Now, it's full of mercy. That means you're going to be gracious to other people if it's an idea from God. And then it says, it's wisdom from God is impartial and sincere. Now, this means you don't use what God tells you to manipulate other people. The words insincere and sincere and impartial are actually in Greek the words adikritos and anipokritos. We get the word hypocrite from adikritos and anipokritos. It means hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite is? You wear a mask. You're fake. You're phony. You're not authentic. You talk one way with this group and another way with this group. When you do that, you're not hearing from God. If it's an idea, it's right out front and it's the same with every person. And you don't try to manipulate or control other people by saying, well, now God told me. And then you go, well, how do you fight with God? I mean, that's like the ultimate weapon to throw down. Well, God told me to, and you go, well, okay, I guess we better do it. No, that means if it's really from God, you don't do that. Now, Tom is going to come and teach us the third filter.
The third way you test an impression is you ask, does my church family confirm it? Does my church family confirm it? You ask other mature believers, what do you think about this idea? Might check with God's word. Might check with the other filters, but does my church family confirm it? Now, why is this one so important? Because you were not meant to live life all alone. You were meant to live life in relationship to other people. And so you go to others, other mature people who are trying to follow Christ as well, and you say, what do you think about this? This is why it's so important that you have a church family. Listen to what the Bible says about this in Ephesians 3:10. God's intent is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Through the church, God's wisdom is made known into all eternity and to each one of us individually. He wants to use other people in your life, in my life. Now, what does this mean? This means that if God has genuinely spoken to you, other believers, other people who are following Christ are going to confirm it when you talk to them about it. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, yeah, I can see that. This also means if you get an idea, an impression, something from God, and you think, maybe I should do this for this area of my life or for a relationship or for my business, and you have a resistance to telling anybody else about it, that should be a huge red flag. I don't want to tell anybody else. It's either, you know, I look at myself. I like to think things through and make plans, and if I'm resistant to telling somebody else, a lot of times it's just my pride. I just want to feel like I made it up all by myself. It's either my pride, or it could be, in the back of your mind, you know it's the wrong thing to do, and you know what they're going to say when you tell them, so you just don't want to tell them. You test the impression with other people because you realize that they're going to confirm it. If you get some idea, crazy idea, that you can't find any other person who's trying to follow Christ to confirm it, guess what? It's wrong. So you just throw it out, you drop it, and you realize I'm going to go on to the next idea. If mature believers question it, you should question it too. Now, why does God want us to get advice from other people? Because he wants to save us from a lot of things. Next verse in your outline says, the wisdom of the righteous can save you. Now, what can it save you? It can save you a lot of time, wasted time in doing the wrong thing. It can save you a lot of pain in making a mistake. I'd rather learn from somebody else's pain than have the pain myself. Can you agree with that one? No doubt about that. It can save you a lot of embarrassment. It can even save your reputation. Sometimes it can save your life. That's how important advice from other people can be in your life. One of the biggest reasons we mess up our lives is either we have no godly friends, no one else in our lives that we can talk to who's trying to follow God and live life the kind of way he's made for us to live, or I've got some friends, but I just won't listen to them in this case. I just want to do what I want to do no matter what. So I got to build godly relationships into my life. Now, this is why every one of us, we need something in our lives. You probably know what it is. We all need a small group. You know this already. In fact, most of you are in a small group, but maybe you were in one and you've gotten out of one, or you've never been in one, and it's the time, it's just the hassle. If you're not in a small group, you're skating on thin ice and you don't know where the thin ice is. You need some other people in your life that you can bounce some things off of. Relationships aren't just every once in a while I'll try to call. You got to build them in on a regular basis. I can't tell you how many times in our small group someone has said something and I wasn't even thinking to ask them about it, but just what they said, it caused me to think in a different direction, in a different way. That's the power of relationships, what God wants to do in our lives. You need a small group for feedback when it comes to hearing from God, impressions from God. Proverbs 11:14 says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So if you want to make fewer mistakes, then you get all the godly advice that you can get and you follow it. With one big disclaimer on that one. There are some people, they've got an idea, and they go ask 10 people, and they realize it's wrong. So then they go ask 99 people, just looking for one person who will agree with them. I'm not saying to do that. What you do is you just find some people that are trying to follow Christ, trying to live the kind of life God's given us to live, and you ask them, and you allow them to be a part of testing God's impressions in your life.
Now, the fourth test is a test that will save you an awful lot of money, if you'll really listen to it. I have met so many well-meaning Christians who've gone off and started businesses, and then they failed, and they lost a lot of money from it because they didn't go through this fourth test. And they would say, well, you know, it passed the first three. I want to start this business. Does it agree with the Bible? Yeah, it's not unbiblical. Does it make me more like Christ? Yes, I can become more like Christ in starting this business. Does my small group confirm it? And the church family and other mature, they say, yeah, you'd be good at that. Try that. But they didn't really look at the fourth test. And the fourth test is this. Is it consistent with how God shaped me? Is this idea that I've got, this impression, this thought, is it consistent with how God has shaped me? Now, before you were born, God decided what he wanted you to do with your life. And then he formed you, he shaped you for that specific task. He doesn't want you to be somebody you're not. He doesn't want you to pretend to be a copy of somebody else. He made you to be you. We've talked about this often over the years. It's called your shape, S-H-A-P-E. Your spiritual gift, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. These are the five things that make you, you. And if you haven't taken class 101, 201, 301, or 401, I wrote these classes to help you grow through the stages of maturity. And the third class, 301, is discovering how God shaped you and what you're supposed to do with your life based on your spiritual gifts. What am I gifted to do? Your heart. What do I love to do? Your abilities, your talents, your personality. We all have different personality, and your experiences. Now, this shape determines your significance, what you're supposed to do. Form follows function, function follows form, and the way God formed you determines what your function is. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Did you know that God created you to do good works? Why are you here on this earth? God created you to do good works, and they're unique to you. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Before you were even born, God knew what he wanted you to do, so he shaped you for that work. The Bible says we're his workmanship. That word in Greek is the word poema. It means poem. We get the word poem from it. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's poem. You are God's work of art. There's nobody like you. Quit trying to be somebody else. You are God's workmanship. You are his handicraft. And he broke the mold when he made you. Now your shape reveals your purpose. You look at something and you see how it's shaped and you know what it's shaped for. This right here, this is shaped, looks like it's shaped to hold stuff, music. Okay, this right here, I look at this and I see the shape of this. Is this shaped to sit on? I don't think so. Okay, no, it's shaped to hold this guitar. Now, I look over there and I see a stool with a big round bottom. And I think, that would fit my big round bottom. Okay, and I think that is shaped to sit on. Now, I look at this microphone. Is this shaped to sit on? No, I wouldn't want to sit on that puppy. Okay, so shape determines purpose. You are shaped in a certain way. God has given you certain abilities and talents. If you have a musical ability and you're shaped in music, God expects you to use it. He never gives you a talent he wants you to waste. On the other hand, if you can't carry a tune in a baggie, if you're tone deaf, please don't go on American Idol. Now, what you're good at is a good indication of what you should do with your life. The Bible says this in Romans 12:6 on the back of your outline. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well, which implies that there are certain things you don't do well. Okay? Nobody is good at everything. And that's why we need each other. And that's why we need a small group, because we help each other out. So in this question, you want to ask, what am I good at? What do I love to do? But more than what do I love to do, what am I really good at? You discover a lot of God's will by simply looking at how God has shaped you. Now, just because you love to do it doesn't mean you should do it. Many of you know that before I was a pastor, I was a worship leader. I've played guitar since I was a kid. I had a band when I was in high school, and I love to sing. The only problem was nobody liked to listen to it. So I discovered that just because I like to sing doesn't mean I should sing, okay? So I quickly got wise and shifted gears. And when you're doing what you're good at doing, people go, hey, you're good at that, okay? And they will tell you. If you get an impression from God that is totally opposite of what you are shaped to be, it didn't come from God. You can know. It didn't, that idea did not come from God. It may have been something my parents wanted me to do, and I feel pressured to do it because they wanted me to do it, or my wife wants me to do it, or my husband wants me to do it, but I'm not shaped to do it. So don't do it, because your shape determines God's will for your life. You know, a while back, I was invited to speak on the USS Stennis, which is a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier out in the Pacific with 9,000 sailors on it. It's a floating city. And it was so cool. And they invited me out in the Pacific during the middle of war games. So I get on this COD plane, which is a little plane that has a tail hook on it, and you come flying in to this aircraft carrier, and the tail hook catches the cord, and you go from 355 miles an hour to zero in about 2 seconds. It's really cool. The G-force on that beats all the things at Magic Mountain put together. It's a Z-ticket ride. I'm going, now that's cool. And so then I spoke to these sailors, 9,000 sailors and the admiral, and had a great time there. And then when I'm flying off, they literally propel you like the jet is just pushed off very quickly. And this thing just pushes this little COD plane. And you go, again, from zero to about 50 miles an hour in about 400 yards. It just takes off. And it is so cool. Now, if I came home and I said to you, God has spoken to me, and I am to resign Saddleback Church as pastor, and I'm going to go become a Top Gun. Well, I'm not shaped to be a Top Gun. First place, I wouldn't fit in a cockpit. Okay? I'm too tall, I'm too big to fit in a cockpit. Second, I have almost zero hand-eye coordination. So you wouldn't want me flying one of those $21 billion jets. And I'm not shaped to do it. I may like to do it, but if I'm not shaped, I shouldn't do it. Does that make sense? Okay? Sometimes people get a dream and they hear this thing, well, you can be anything you want to be. I'll tell you right now, that's just not true, friends. Okay? I mean, I don't care who, you're never going to be an opera singer. No matter how hard you try, you're never going to be Kobe. You're never going to shoot hoops like he does, okay? Because you are shaped in a certain way. You can be all God shaped you to be. And you better be happy with that, and that's where you're going to find fulfillment, not trying to be somebody that you think you ought to be. God's leading will not contradict what he's gifted you to do. Number five, the fifth test, does it concern my responsibility? Does it concern my responsibility? Now, if it's not your responsibility, why should God talk to you about it? In other words, if God wants to talk to somebody else, he can talk directly to them. Every believer has direct access to God. He doesn't really need to go through you. And so stop trying to get God's word for somebody else. Is it your responsibility? A good example of this, again, is going back to Peter. Peter, at the end of Jesus' time on earth, Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, one day you're going to die for me. You're going to be martyred. They're going to put you in chains. And he's telling Peter in advance, you're going to die a horrible death because you're going to be martyred for me. Now, Peter isn't happy with that. He immediately looks at his buddy, fellow disciple John, and goes, what about him? Human behavior. What about John? And Jesus basically says, it's none of your beeswax. It's none of your business. Okay? And Jesus says this here in John 21, 22. Jesus says, if I want him, that's John, the other disciple, if I want him to remain alive till I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. In other words, don't worry about what other people, don't try to figure out their lives. You follow me. What is that to you? Circle that. What is that to you? Now, Kay has what I consider to be a classic message on this text. Kay calls this the witty principle, W-I-T-T-Y. What is that to you? And Kay says, you know, we always get in trouble when we ignore the witty principle. When we start trying to be the Holy Spirit for somebody else. When we start trying to be God for somebody else. And God is saying, hey, I'm talking to you. Are you listening? I'm talking to you. Not what I want to say to you to say to your husband or to your wife or your kids or your parents or your boss. What is that to you? You work on you. He's saying, don't judge other people. Stop being so judgmental and you just get your own act together. Now, what is he saying here? That when I want to hear God's voice, when I want to listen for an impression, I want to hear God speak, I need to listen for me. Not for somebody else who's in trouble, not for somebody else I want to change, but I need to listen for me. And when God speaks to you, he's going to speak to you about you in your current situation, about things you need to change. Not somebody else. It's going to be your responsibility. It'll be relevant to you. You see, it's quite presumptuous to assume that you can hear God speak for somebody else. You need to be very, very careful about that. Here's what the Bible says, Romans 14. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? In other words, that person isn't your servant. That person's God's servant. To his own master, that's God. God is his master. To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So you quit picking on him or her. Says, who are you to judge? To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand.
Hey, have you ever wished that you could hear from God? I mean, really hear his voice when you're facing a big decision, struggling with pain, or just feeling lost? Well, here's the amazing truth. The creator of the universe wants to be your friend. And that's not just in theory, but in a real daily relationship. And how does that friendship grow? Through conversation. The good news is God is already speaking. The question is, are you tuned in? In this powerful new Bible study from Pastor Rick's Hearing the Voice of God series, you'll discover how to recognize when God's speaking, how to hear him with greater clarity, and how to turn your prayers from a monologue into a life-changing dialogue. This four-week study is full of practical teaching, guided prayers, thought-provoking questions, and simple tools to help you connect with God in a deeper, more personal way. Plus, it's perfect for individual or small group study. So don't miss out on what God wants to say to you. Request your copy of Hearing the Voice of God today. It's our gift to you when you support Daily Hope and help share the gospel with people all around the world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. And again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Please join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.